Oh my goodness. You know, you used to sing that song, and let me tell you, in a happy church, and I know Pastor Ndumia knows what I'm trying to say. You know, a church of about 2,000 people, you know, and we would divide like across the aisle, and let me tell you, you would be just a nice symphony going on. Amen? And that is so beautiful. Today, the Lord has been so good, and we have some special people in our midst, and some of you know that we've been praying for our brother Kamau's wife to come and join him. And before I speak the word of the Lord, I feel like I need to give them an opportunity to come and greet the church. And her name is Margaret, and I'm going to ask them to come and just accompany with her husband over here so that she doesn't fall. Amen. Hallelujah. So that they can tell us what it means, what she has seen. And we've been praying for her for many, many days. And all of you know our brother Kamau. She's a favorite son of this ministry, and he's given to the work of the Lord. And behold, the wife is here now. No burning his hands, no skipping meals, no skipping breakfast. Many, many days, you know, he buys one meal to last for the whole week. That is not going to happen anymore. Amen. So, come on.
Praise the Lord, church. Yeah, this morning, no, it's not morning, it's afternoon. Yeah, this afternoon, I'm grateful when I stand over here. It's a God miracle because I know most of the people have been praying for me and my wife too to come. And finally, she is here. But now, the most thing now we are waiting is for our baby. But I hope when the papers will go through. Yeah, thank you so much. And I'm going to introduce her. She's going to say who she is. And
praise Lord. Praise Lord again. I'm Margaret Muhungi. And I'm happy, so happy today to be in your midst. By the way, I felt like I'm still at home. We have praised. I've seen my fellow Kenyans. I'm so happy. I'm so glad to be here today. And I thank God for the prayers. And I praise God because it has taken his hand. And we are still praying for our daughter to be with us. And I hope it will happen soon. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Thank you so much. I know there are people who are lining up to take you all for lunch and dinner and get to know this beautiful lady that has been in Kenya for all these days. But certainly we are very happy to have you join us, Margaret. And I just want to hear that you are a singer. Because so that you can join us in the worship. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, this morning, I want to bring the word of the Lord. By the way, thank you so much for all of you who participated in, you know, Pastor Julius's mom passing. They're in Kenya. We haven't talked yet. I don't know whether Purity has talked with them already. They arrived safely. Okay. So they went to Moranga today, and let us keep praying for them so that the procession will go on well. Amen. So thank you so much again for coming out in large numbers to support them. And this is, as we continually say during the funeral service, that this is the doing of the Lord. This is when the Lord looks from heaven and sees us, you know, together as brothers and sisters, taking care of one another, being our brothers, keepers. Let me now tell you, the Lord rejoices in heaven of our lives. Amen? And he, in return, sends out blessings that we don't have, we may not have room enough to receive because of what we have done to one of ourselves. So today, I want us to get into the Bible, into the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 7. I believe this is a very, very interesting text that the Lord has given us today. And before the end of the service, I know that the Lord would have ministered to your hearts. Second Kings, chapter number 4, verse number 1 to 7. How many of you brought your Bibles? Can you shout a big hallelujah? Amen. It is a good thing to bring your Bibles to church. And even though we have Sister Lorraine, who does an incredible job shooting those scriptures on the screen so that we can read, it's a good thing to bring your Bible to the house of the Lord. And so if you're in the book of 2 Kings, chapter number 4, 1 to 7, we can all read together. Can we read today in council? I mean, together, can we all read together? It doesn't matter what translation you have, but let us read those first seven verses together. Amen? Okay, let's go. The wife of a man from the company of the prophets cried out to Elisha, "Your servants, my husband is dead, and you know that he revered the Lord. But now his creditor is coming to take my two boys as his slaves." Elisha replied to her, "How can I help you? Tell me what you have in your house." "Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." Elisha said, "Go around and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. Don't just for just a few. Then go inside and shut the door behind you and your sons. Pour oil into all the jars, and as each is filled, put it to one side." She left him and shut the door behind her and her sons. They brought the jars to her, and she kept pouring. When all the jars were full, she said to her son, "Bring me another." But she replied, "There is no a jar left." Then the oil stopped flowing. She went and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left." Praise the Lord. This morning, I just want to bring a message that I want to entitle, "What is in your hands?" Turn to your neighbor, tell them, "What do you have in your hands?" Amen. What do you have in your hands? What do you have in your hands? Hallelujah. Many times as we go through life, sometimes we ignore the things that we have or the things that the Lord has so generously placed in our hands. Amen. And sometimes, you know, we get used to the things that we have or the things that we possess. And when I'm talking about the things that we possess, I'm not just talking about material things that are tangible, but I'm talking about things that the Lord has blessed us with: talents, gifts, personality, and you know, you have been endowed with this demeanor as a person, so that when you talk, stand before people, you can speak and those people are blessed. Amen. There are other people who, just by looking at them, their personality just gives them favor. Even wherever they go, you know, people are willing to salute for you just because of how you look. In other words, God has endowed each one of us with special giftings. Amen. You have special characteristic that is unique among the populace of the world. Amen. And it's so unique that God has designated a function for it and a purpose for it here on this planet. We may not really be aware of it, and maybe we grew up and never identified what it is, what it is. But at one point or another, maybe people pointed out to you and they told you that you are good in this. Oh, I like the way you do these things. I like the way you speak. You know, as I was growing up, people told me that I like the way you sing, but I never knew that I would be a singer. You know, even today I would sing and people say, "Oh, I like your voice. I like your golden voice." And then there are people who sing and you wouldn't want to listen to them, because when you tell them to sing at key G, and you know, I know Mwalim understands what I'm talking about, they just shoot to key Z. And those people sometimes present themselves before people and they easily produce this kind of a statement, "Oh, just listen to the words, do not listen to the music." Just because they already know that they don't have that capability to sing. But, you know, whatever that may be the case, God has endowed each one of us with a special gifting. Amen? You have a special talent that is unique. That is unique than any other person. And God intends to use that to not only to help you, go ahead, but also to bring him glory. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Bible tells us that the gifting of a man maketh room for him. Praise the Lord. The gifting of a man maketh room for them. So I think our question this afternoon would be, what is that unique thing that the Lord has placed in my heart? What is it that is on my hands that whenever that I need to recognize so that the Lord can use it and so that he can make room for me before great men? Praise the Lord. And I think when we come to that realization, to know that this is the thing that the Lord has given me, this is the gifting that the Lord has placed in my hands. Oh, we can, we can clap all our way to the bank knowing that the Lord has granted me a favor by giving me this gift. I just want to give you a short story of a lady who we used to go to church many, many years ago back in the village, you know. This lady came in and she was a maid, like a house help, you know, for a teacher. And her name was Naomi. And Naomi, we used to go to the same church, you know, in the full gospel churches and many, many times. And she was committed. She is still committed to the Lord. And she used to diligently serve this teacher. Her name was Mrs. Mugwa. Now, time came when Naomi had to get married. And God was so gracious to them, actually, gave them a green card. And they came over to the States. And they settled in Georgia. And Naomi, when we used to be in the village church, she used to sometimes come and sing in the choir. And she used to, she was really, really dedicated to the Lord. And when she came up here, somebody encouraged her to produce a CD. And let me tell you, she sang her first CD, and today she's a celebrity. Some of you maybe know her. I'm trying to remember her second name, but her name is Naomi. She sings, Naomi Karanja, exactly, Naomi Karanja. Naomi Karanja, we grew up together, you know, like in the village. And today, Naomi Karanja is a celebrity. Let me tell you, when she goes to Kenya, the ladies that she used to work for, she says that, you know what, I am the one now to carry your Bible. Amen? And it is amazing that when you realize, when we recognize, let me tell you, back in the day, people would just look at her and they would just disqualify her because, you know, who in Kenya, even today, people look down on house helps. Amen? Just because of the kind of job that they do. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and maybe if you, you know, you had a family and you had a house help, you know, it's very easy and a very natural tendency to look down on them and to tell them, you know, God do this. Why did you not wash the clothes? Why did you prepare this food like this and that? And, you know, there's a tendency to look down on such kind of people. But let me tell you, God is not a respecter of people. Because when he says that you're going to be blessed, nobody can change that. Amen? Naomi Karanja was a house help. She did her job so very diligently and served her servant. But today, we had the other day and she was telling me, you know what, Pastor Tony, you're one of the people who encouraged me in the ministry, but I wanted you to tell this, that God, through his grace, has helped me buy my house clear. I don't even owe anybody anything on my house. She bought her house clear just because of her gifting. The gifting has made room for her. Amen? Praise the Lord. That is what God is able to do. And this morning we want to examine the life of this man of God called Elisha. And there's so many lessons that we can learn actually from this text. Number one, if you read the previous chapter of 2 Kings chapter number 3, Elisha is confronted by some kings of Israel. And they have garnered together to go and fight the king of Aram. And they want to have the confidence, even as they go to war, that they are going to win and that God is gonna give them a favor even as they go to war. And actually, as they go out to fight the king of Aram, they are confronted by a situation whereby they don't have water. And they are dumbfounded and they are wondering, did God bring us together to go to war against this evil king just to come and kill us in the desert? And they inquired, one of the kings inquired and said, is there not a prophet of God in this region? And King Jehoshaphat said, oh, I know of one person, and his name is Elisha. And so we find, if you read in chapter number 3, they are going to Elisha,
And Elisha, first of all, didn't want to talk to them. But the Spirit of the Lord comes upon Elisha and tells them exactly that the Lord was going to provide for them in the war, and he was going to provide for water, and that he was going to give them the king of Aram, and that they were going to defeat that evil king. Praise the Lord. And you see, the gifting of Elisha put him in a position to talk to kings. But you know, in today's day, in fact, when I was studying about this scripture, I was wondering, and by the way, I don't want to be any offensive to anybody, whether today's preachers, especially who are televangelists, would have, have an opportunity to talk to a poor woman like Elisha talked to. You know, today's preachers, and I'm sorry to say this, and I'm sorry if I offend any one of you, today is to say that there are some preachers who treat themselves like rock star preachers, you know, so that, you know, they don't have any opportunity to talk to anybody. In fact, especially in Kenya, if you went and asked for an appointment to see any bishop, trust me, you may not even see them unless you say, I come from the United States of America. And you know what? When you say that you come from the United States of America, they might think that you have some S with a... You know the S, what I'm trying to say with the... And so they might say, okay, I want to see that person who comes from the America. Maju. They call it Maju. But let me tell you, it is a dangerous thing. We learn something from Elisha. That Elisha is given to the services of the Most High God. Amen? And I want us to read a scripture in the book of James, chapter number 2, verse number 1 to 9. This is what the Bible says. My brothers and sisters, do not show prejudice if you possess faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. For if someone comes in your assembly wearing a gold ring and fine clothing, and a poor person enters in filthy clothes, do you pay attention to the one who is finely dressed and say, you sit here, especially on the front, because that's how many, many places when you go smartly dressed, you'll be brought quite on the front, right? Huh? Hello? You sit here in a good place, and to the poor person, you stand over there. You are thinking, oh, that, I just said I added that. Or sit on the floor. If so, have you not made the distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, did not God choose the poor in the world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom that he promised to those who love? Amen? Hallelujah. So we find that the man of God, Elisha, and I'm enjoying this, that he doesn't discriminate. He is at one time talking to the kings, and we find out in chapter number 4, he is talking to a poor lady. Praise the Lord. So he is not discriminating. That is one of the things that we ought to learn in ourselves, even though this is not what I'm talking about. That we should not disregard people or classify ourselves to a certain group of people, and you are not able to talk to a certain class of people because they don't earn or they don't live in a certain area. Praise the Lord. The Lord has called us to be his helping hands, his ambassadors. Amen? And so whoever God brings in your life, we are supposed to attend them just the same way. Praise the Lord. May God help all of us to know that we are God's extended hands. And as Jesus would not just treat the rich man only, Jesus, we find Jesus in his ministry, he is going to dine even with people who had conned out people. We talked about this last week. He went to dine with Zacchaeus. Amen? Who was a tax collector, and he was stealing from people. And he was willing to go there so that per se, he would snatch her soul from the kingdom of hell, and thus saving Zacchaeus so that salvation would come into his house. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. And God is so faithful. God is so faithful, and he is so articulate in the way he does things. But now let us come to our story and what exactly happened to this woman. Number one, we know that this woman was a widow. Now the Bible doesn't tell us who she was, except for the fact that she was one of the wives of the sons of the prophets. And it seemed like Elisha knew her husband because of the way it is narrated, because it says that you knew that my husband revered the Lord. Amen? He was your servant. In fact, it says your servant who revered the Lord is dead. And as he died, he had some. His life was just like any one of us life who serves the Lord. He had some credit, you know. He had some debt. Amen. He had some debt. He had incurred some debt. And it looks like the way I was reading, he was so committed to the Lord and he served the Lord diligently. He just wanted to sustain his family. I know of one man, one pastor. Some of you can remember. There was a pastor who helped us evangelize this whole city of Farmers Branch. And his name was Pastor Benjamin. He actually was a pastor of about, I think it was between 2,000 and 3,000 Hispanic brothers in Oak Cliff. And when I approached this man, let me tell you, I approached this pastor, he was just so humble. You wouldn't even say that he was the pastor of that church. And he gave us about 30 people. You remember the Hispanic people that we used to minister with? Every Saturday they would come and we would join and we would go knock on the doors, you know, and we would tell people about Jesus. Some of you came to those outreaches that we had. And so when I investigated, somebody told me something about this pastor. He was telling me that he didn't own anything. Even the car that he used to drive was a small car, and that he was completely committed to the Lord, you know, and sold out to the cause of the ministry. In fact, the money that he used to get from his church, he used to give to the poor. In other words, there was zero, you know, over this, you know, there was nothing that he would hold and attach to this, to himself, even as he continued to serve the Lord, in spite of the size of his church. And so a time came when he had cancer and he died. And so when he died, Pastor Jesus was related to the family. Some of you can remember Pastor Jesus. And he came and told me, "You can't believe this, Pastor, that Pastor Benjamin didn't even have anything in the bank. And the wife is really really trying to pay college for the kids and do this and do the other." And you know, it seemed like it was hard for this woman who was just left as a widow in spite of the size of the church. But anyway, cut a long story short, the church came together and they decided to bail out the needs of this pastor who had completely sold out his life to the work of the ministry. What am I trying to say? That sometimes you can serve God and have nothing attached to yourself. Amen? But I'm not. Am I saying that is a good thing? It may be a good thing, and it may not be a good thing. But what I'm trying to say, when you're giving yourself to the services of the Most High, you know, you let the Lord provide for you. And this is what happened to this to the husband of this wife, who comes to say that my husband had a debt, and he says, "Now, you just help me, because, you know, in a few days, in those days, used to be like if you had a debt, people would come and take you and you'd be enslaved in order to pay the debt." And this is exactly what they were planning to do. They were planning to come and take the sons of this woman so that they would labor and they would be subjected to slavery and hard labor so that they could pay the debt that the man of God owed. And an interesting thing happens when they came to Elisha. And Elisha tells him, "What do you have? What do you have in your house?" Praise the Lord. And this is a question that the Lord every single minute is asking us, even sometimes when we are not aware of it. What do you have in your house? Amen. What do you have in your house? Praise the Lord. What do you hold in your hands? And the woman, as you already know, she said that "I only have but a little jar of oil." Praise the Lord. "Your servant has nothing there at all. Your servant has nothing there at all," she said, "except a small jar of olive oil." And I was wondering, why would she keep only a jar of olive oil to herself? Maybe this could have been for her burial ceremony. Maybe this would have been, or maybe was used as an anointing by her husband to pray over the sick people, and she just wanted to keep it as a souvenir. There could have been many other reasons. And I don't know, when you think about this, when if the Lord would come today and asked you, "What do you have in your hands?" Amen. What would you tell the Lord? What do you have in your hands? Could it be that the thing that you think you have in your person is so insignificant that you sometimes overlook it? Could it be that sometimes the thing that the Lord has given you, when you look at it, it looks dead and it looks like it cannot take you anywhere? Is it Is it true that sometimes when if the Lord would come and ask you, what do you have in your hands, you'd look down upon it and you'd say, what would come out of this? And many times you have ignored it, and many times you have trampled upon it, many times you have even put it in the back burner, many times maybe you have even shelved it, and all this time the Lord has been asking you, what do you have in your hands? Amen? This question was asked to one servant of the Lord. His name was Moses. Amen? And you know, already know Moses, at one time God put him in a position of splendor. He was a prince of Egypt. Amen? And a time came, you know the story of Moses, how he was caught up by Pharaoh and he was brought up in the house of Pharaoh. But a time came, you know, when as he is executing his duties, he saw one of his people being murdered by an Egyptian, and he said, you know what, being beaten by an Egyptian, and he went and killed that man, and as a consequence, he ran away, and for 40 years, he's in the desert. Not only was he living with somebody's house, his Jethro, his uncle, he didn't even have anywhere to go, you know. If you looked at Moses, it was almost like a dysfunction. He's coming from what we would know as a White House, and going into the wilderness. And in his father's he is not living in his house. And not only that, but he is employed by his uncle as a shepherd. Amen. And all he knew was sheep and taking care of sheep and protecting the sheep and doing all this and that. You know, other people have heard say that he smelled like a sheep. And he had this thing that he had in his hands. It was a shepherd's rod. Now, this shepherd's rod was nothing else but a 6-inch dry wood that he had picked up and usually helped him to protect the sheep. And sometimes climbing the hilly terrain, you know, and, you know, just supporting him when he's... Have you seen those, you know, the way the Maasai, when they are taking care of, when they are wanachunga, when they are taking care of sheep? They lean against that, their kijiti. I can see Moses maybe leaning against that kijiti like this. And to Moses, this rod meant nothing. He held it every single day, but it was just a dead, broken wood. Amen? And I don't think ever that Moses really regarded that anything would come out of a rod. I mean, would you? If you had a piece of rod in your house, you know, it's just something that you cut and you dried it and you're picking it up, would you think that anything would come out of it? That's how sometimes we are, church. I included. That sometimes that we possess things that when we look at them, we disqualify them at face value. We say, what would come out of this talent? You know, one time I stood up, and that's what you say. One time I stood up and people laughed at me when I was asked to sing. And you disqualified yourself. Praise the Lord. But there's something so significant that the Lord wants us to see here today, that it doesn't matter the value or the insignificance of how you look at a thing that you hold in your hands. Praise the Lord. When it is handed over to God, it changes. Praise be to God. It changes. When we surrender it to the Lord and say, God, this is all that I have, God is able to use that which you have in your hand, maybe to propel you to your destiny. Praise be to God. And God said to Moses, what do you have in your hands? He says, a rod. It's like, okay, so you already know it's a rod. You know, I mean, if God asks you, what do you have? You say, a rod. So what's up? What's up, God? I mean, it's just a rod. And the Lord tells him, throw it on the floor. And immediately it falls on the ground. Do you know what it became? It became a serpent. And actually the Bible says that Moses went aback. Now, I have an idea that when Moses was shepherding the sheep of his uncle Jethro, he had encountered snakes. And I'm sure maybe, even though we are not told in the Bible, that Moses may have killed some snakes in the wilderness. But this was a special kind of a serpent that made him, hey, voila, what happened? It could have been maybe say, whoa, what am I holding in my hand? I've been holding a snake all this time. And listen to this, child of God, that God used that same rod that he had in his hands to perform plagues into the camp of the Egyptians. Think about it. The thing that he cut even from a tree from somewhere and maybe ignored about it, but this same rod that he was holding in his hand, God used it to bring plagues, the frogs, you know, remember like when he parted on the water and the water turned into blood? It is the same stuff that God used to bring deliverance to the children of Israel. My question to us today is, what do you have in your hands? What do you hold in your hands? Praise the Lord. What have you been clinging to for all this time? And God has been asking you, hey, Sister Betty, what is it that you hold in your hands? Pastor John Dumia, what do you hold in your hands? Do you just realize that whatever you hold in your hands can take you before nations? Praise the Lord. And I was driving to church this day. I said, oh, you know what? There has to be some more thing. There has to be something more that God called me on this planet, not just to preach. And in fact, you know what? I felt an urge, and I feel an urge to investigate, what do I have in my spirit? What is it that I have in my spirit? I may have sensed what I have, but what have I surrendered it fully to God, so that when God touches it, it becomes something else from what I am able to see physically. Praise the Lord. And so this widow was just about to see her sons being delivered to slavery so that they would repay the debt, not even debt that they incurred, but the debt of their father. And she comes to the man of God. The man of God represents God. It's like, God, you know me, you understand me, ins and outs. My life lays bare before you, Lord. And this is the only thing that I have. What am I going to do? I'm not prepared to lose my sons. Tell me something. I need to redeem my sons from this debt that my husband left us with. And the servant of the Lord told her, what do you have in your house? And she said, a jar of oil. Praise the Lord. And Elisha said, the man of God told her, go around, amen, and ask all your neighbors for empty jars. At this point, she doesn't understand what is just about to happen. Amen. She doesn't understand. And this is exactly what would happen to us when we go before the Lord and we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want me to do? And the Lord will say, what do you have in your heart? What are you holding in your hands? And the Lord will tell you, go and look around for some from your neighbors for empty jars. I said, when I read that, I said, wow, if this lady was a Kenyan, the way we know Kenyans, and living in Kenya, let me tell you, she would actually rent some maybe maroli to go and bring jars. But thank God she wasn't even aware of what was just about to happen. Amen. But we find an eagerness from this woman who was a widow to obey the word of the Lord. Amen. So number one, if we are to experience multiplicity and a development and advancement in what we are willing and asking from the Lord, we have to be willing to submit to the Lord. We have to be willing to receive instructions from the Lord. We have to be obedient to receive the instructions from the Lord. Because when she was told to go and look for some vessels, she went around knocking on doors to her neighbors, asking for empty jars. And the man of God asked her, don't look for just a few. Amen? So knock on every door that is available to you, asking them to give you some empty jars. Finally, she brings all the jars, and there was a reason why she said, and after you bring all the jars, close your door. This was supposed to be a private event between them and God. There comes a time when God wants to do something in your life. He wants to do it himself. Amen? I love the scripture that says that anybody who goes, that we are supposed to seek the Lord, look for a place whereby you can go and seek the Lord and search for his face and knock on the doors of heaven, and the Lord will come and bless you. And he will come and bless you until everybody will know that you are blessed. Amen? Do you know that when God blesses you, you don't need to advertise your blessings? People will know that surely Brother James is blessed. Amen? With no shadow of a doubt, that is a man of God and he is blessed. Amen? Ah, can you say amen, Buana? When you are blessed, people will know you are blessed. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm not talking about, you know, when we talk about blessings, especially from us coming from Africa, we always think about dollars. There's a way you can be blessed. You know, let me tell you, I was talking to somebody the other day. I love to see a man and a woman who walks in integrity, even the way they take themselves, they carry themselves. You know, there's a way you can look at a... Yeah? You look at a lady, you see the glory of God. You look at a man, you say, man, I didn't know he... I mean, that guy seeks the Lord. Amen? You are blessed, even the way you talk, the way you present yourself. You are a blessed person. Praise the Lord. When God blesses you, you don't even have to advertise it to anybody. People will know that you are blessed. Hallelujah. And so there are some times when God wants to deal with you privately so that people will come in a public way to show, to see. When God blesses you privately, God is willing to show you off publicly. Ah, praise the Lord. There are some times when we're in the closet. Many people may not understand what you're going through. But when I'm telling you the truth, when God is done with you at the closet, and you're getting out of that closet, and you're beaming out, there'll be like a halo around your face. Why? Because you've been in the secret place with the Jehovah God. And he has dealt with you. And he has squared all the problems. And he has solved all your problems. And when you're coming out gloriously because you've been in a place. Hallelujah. And Moses went out to the mountain. And he told the children of Israel, I have where I'm going, you cannot come. So he goes up to Sinai. And he sees God. The Bible says he experiences an encounter with God. And God gives him the commandment. And when he came down the mountain, there was like this halo around him. Why? Because he was in the secret place. There are some experiences that God would want to have just one-on-one with you. And the servant of God told him, close the door. Amen? Now, number one, I realize about this woman, she was not greedy. She just wanted to obey the instructions. You know, she couldn't get, maybe some of us, if we were asked, we were in a need, and God asked us to go borrow jars, you'd come knocking into my door. You'd go actually everywhere in the metroplex. Unaeka zingine even in your backyard. The man of God said, I bring jars, you know. And even you can ask even your neighbors, can I put some in your house? But this woman was not greedy. But she brought in the vessels in the house and her sons. And as she began to pour the oil would never was unlimited. After after one empty vessel was full, she would say, move it to one side and bring another. And she would continue. And the process continued. Now, I want you to know that oil in those days was regarded as an expensive commodity. It is the way we regard gold in these days. So oil was if you'd sell one jar of oil, you'd really be pretty much, you know, wealthy. And you'd meet all your needs. And see, her faith also contributed to bringing all the number of jars even into the house. She couldn't do this without the faith. Maybe she would say, oh, maybe God will just fill 10. Maybe God will just fill 20. Maybe God will just fill 15. Amen? But the Bible says that her house, she filled all the jars, she brought all the empty jars into her house. Amen. And I believe there was not room enough and that every place in her house was full of jars. Praise be to God. And eventually all the jars were filled up. And I was really, really interested with the place when she said, she left him and shut the door behind her sons. When all the jars were full, she said to her, bring me one another. But he replied, there's not a jar left. The oil stopped flowing. The oil was unlimited. The oil did not stop flowing just because there was not enough of the oil. But the oil stopped flowing because there was not what? Amen? So if it means, therefore, that if there was another empty jar, the oil would have continued to. If there was another also empty jar, the oil would have continued to flow. So the Spirit of the Lord was telling me, how willing are we ready to come empty, to empty ourselves before the Lord? How willing are we to completely tell ourselves to empty ourselves because God is willing to pour oil in our lives? And the source of the oil is unlimited. It will flow and flow and flow and flow as long as there is emptiness in us to feel. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, what do you hold in your hand? As I was reading this, it was difficult for me even to think about this. There's some times when we have jars of anger. Amen. Jars of hatred. Sometimes we have jars full of bad things that needs to be emptied so that the Lord can put oil in those empty jars. Amen. And sometimes maybe when we are looking around, we can't find any jar that is empty. Or when we look around, we can find a few that are empty that the Lord would be willing to put oil in it. And I felt like I need to ask these questions. What jars in your house or in your hands are full? And if they are full, what are they filled with? It is time that we re-examine what fills those jars. And if what fills those jars is something that the Lord would not want, we need to pour out the contents of those jars, and so that we can have an empty jar. Amen? As long as we have an empty jar, the Lord will be willing to fill those jars. This afternoon, I'm calling on each one who has a gift in themselves and you've looked down upon that gift. It is time that you surrender that gift to the Lord. And the moment the Lord touches on that gift, something will propel you to great destiny. Amen? Tonight I feel, this afternoon I feel that God has called somebody who has trodden down on a personality, character that God has given you, and you thought that nothing would come out of it. It is time that you picked yourself up and say, you know what, God, I present this personality trait that you gave me, and let this personality trait begin knocking doors for me. Amen. Some of you have CDs that are embedded in your spirits. It is time to connect with somebody who knows how to record a CD and begin to record that CD. Some of you have books that are yet to be written. Maybe your next book will be greater than James Hadley Chase. Are you listening to me? There's something that God has put inside of us. And it's special. It is of a special characteristic in the life of each and every one of us. Some of us, God has called you to be businessmen. And the moment you link yourself with somebody who's a business, maybe you are never called to be employed. Oh, I know I lost a lot of people right there. Maybe the Lord looks at you and says, I wish you can just get a hand in this business. And the moment you get hold of that business, God shoots you to another level until you said, wow, is this me? I am sure Naomi Karanja today pinches herself and she wonders whether she is the one. She's a celebrity. You know, when she comes to Dallas, she calls me, she says, Tony Wito, she goes everywhere singing. And let me tell you, when I remember her, she was a house help. Look what God has changed things for her. Amen. You know, I was saying sometimes we can get to be doing things over and over and over and over again until we forget to know that there might be something else that God may have called us to do on this planet. Amen. Are you listening to me, Kabisa? Wow. And you know what? I realize that God uses the useless things that are trodden down on this planet to glorify himself. Amen? He uses the ignoble things, the things that may not really have any sense. Praise the Lord. Now listen to what the Bible says in the book of John. I'm almost concluding. John 14, verse 13. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in his Son. God is willing to do anything for us. And the reason, number one reason he wants to do it for us, Pastor Francis, is that the Father may receive the glory. Oh my goodness. See, like when I see the women coming here and singing, and they're singing so beautifully. I'm talking of 1 month ago, we didn't have a worship team. Now it is completely full here. Do you know how God is receiving the glory for seeing these women sing here? And he is dancing in heaven when he says, oh, I've always wanted them. I've always wanted them to be singing. I've always... But a time came when they realized that the Father really had been calling them to sing. And they have been volunteering themselves to come and gloriously sing. And they have been blessing us. Amen? And keep doing it. Do not grow weary in doing good. For in due season you shall reap. You may not realize. Let me tell you, some dreams here are just beginning to be born. Somebody who is singing here, and I'm prophesying right now, someone, one of the people who will be singing here, they'll just realize that I've been called to sing, and they'll be connecting themselves with somebody to produce a CD. The next thing you know, they'll be called in Boston, they'll be called in Oklahoma, they'll be called in Seattle, Washington, they'll be called in Washington, D.C. to go and glorify the Lord. I am serious. Amen. So what you're doing, don't look down on what you're doing. Don't just say, you know, I'm singing because Pastor was singing. No, you know what? God is setting you up for something great. Amen. And I'm calling on those that have been given responsibilities to do something, even in the house of the Lord. Do not look down on what you are doing. Do not just say, I'm just an usher. Oh, do not just say, I'm just a person who does this. I'm just a woman who just cooks tea here. Let me tell you, wow. You see what happened to Sister Alice? She started just busying herself. And you might say, Pastor Taome, you need to enjoy. Pastor Alice started doing tea for us. Look where she is right now. God has opened up a restaurant for her. See, the gifting of a man maketh room for him. What are you good at? See, Mwalim, what you're doing for us? You know what? There's going to be a Muungano here in this country. We need to prepare ourselves. We started as a men chorale here. But I'm telling you the truth. And you will come and see one day. You will be hearing us going to Boston. We are going to be going to Oklahoma. We'll be going everywhere in this country. Because the gifting of a man maketh room for him. And you know what? God does not use dignitaries. He doesn't. Look at what God does in 1 Kings chapter number 17. The Zarephath woman. Elijah, she is told, you know, I want to send you to Zarephath. Amen? Sidonian territory. And you go there and live there. And I've already told a widow to take care of you. Oh my God. You need to read this story. Very good story, man. You know, he's telling Elijah, I'm sending you to Zarephath. And I've prepared a widow to take care of you. Now, cut a long story short, Elijah gets to Zarephath. And the first woman she finds, kumbe, she's that widow. And she tells you, hey, can you give me a cup of water? And the lady goes, while she's going, she says, hey, can you also bring me a piece of bread? Elijah was hungry, man. He was hungry. And there was drought, famine in that land. So she said, she comes back and tells her, you know what? I have only one meal worthy of, I have only a flour worthy of one meal for me and my son. You know? And a jar of oil. Only for one meal. We are going to cook this for me and my son. And we are going to die of starvation. So Elisha would have said, is this the woman that God told me to come and provide for me? I mean, sometimes when I read that story, it looks like, and Elijah told him, can you first of all make me a cake? If Pastor Tony came and told you this, I'm waiting. Is in the flesh, this pastor. You say this pastor is in the flesh. If I was Elijah and came into your house, say like Sekaro, I come to your house and you know you only have one flour to cook for Joseph and yourself. And this, you say, Pastor, this is the only meal. And I tell you, about Gurega Keki. You'd go say, I think Tony is in the flesh. No, I'm just joking. Maybe she would make one for me. But this is exactly what happened. She made a small cake for the man of God. And do you know what the word, oh my God, the word that came out of the man of God, she said that that the Lord is going to sustain that flour and it is not going to dry up. Even the oil that you have will never dry up until there's going to be next rain. And you know what? Elijah had prophesied that there will not be rain for how many years? God used one meal's preparation, flour for making one meal, and one small jar of oil, and he multiplied it to last for 3 years. Do you see what God can do? So what you've been looking down at, God is not on a... Listen, God is not going to add to that which you have, but he is going to multiply it. But it is not going to be multiplied unless it is handed over to God. Oh, Jesus. I wish you can listen here to me. See, this is exactly what he did to Moses with the rod. He multiplied its effect by bringing so many plagues. How many plagues were there in total in Israel? How many plagues? Come on, Bible scholars. How many plagues did God perform? 7? 9? I'm giving you homework. I'm going to ask you next week. How many plagues? Huh? You're going to do the research. Okay. Whether there were 9, whether there were 10 or 20, there was a multiplicity effect on that simple rod. Look at the woman who God tells to bring as many jars. He not only added, but there was a multiplicity effect. To this afternoon, I prophesy that whatever you hold in your hand, when it is handed over to God, God will multiply it. If God has given you a talent of becoming a sinner, may God multiply it. May God give you ideas. May God link you with divine connectors who are going to link you up so that you'll be a celebrity. What is wrong in having a celebrity from Empowerment Christian Center? Sister Joyce, I prophesy over your life in the name of Jesus that whatever you have, the gifting of entrepreneurship that you have, God will take it to the next level. Because you have handed it over to God. I also prophesy to you, man of God, that the gifting that you have, God will take it to the next level. Amen. We prophesy to our choral, Brother Ben, that we will go to every state singing and glorifying God. Why? Because we are handing over this which he has given to us. And we are telling it, God, this is yours. That he may be glorified. Oh, hallelujah. I wish somebody can get this. Something that you have looked down for a long, long time. All you need to do is take it up and take it to God and say, God, here it is. And when God touches it, you will not even believe that you had that thing in your life. People will be jealous of you. People will wonder, where has this one come from? But just because you have realized the secret of picking up that which he has given you, and he is asking you, what is in your hands? And once you hand it over to him, expect a multiplication in the name of Jesus. Are you listening to me? The reason why we don't advance is because we don't even believe in ourselves. When you have talked to God himself, he understands. The thing that you might be looking at might be dead. It might be even without a shape. It might be even ignoble. You have even ignored it. You even trampled of it. Maybe you put it somewhere. Oh my God. But time has come when it's time to fish it out of the oblivion. Bring it and say, God, I have overlooked this gift that you've given me. But today, I'm handing it over to you. Do your thing. Amen? And let God do his thing. Praise the Lord. I prophesy business women here. People who will be talking and people who listen. People who will be even in government offices. Why not? We can do it in the name of Jesus. There is still more to be explored in here. In the name of Jesus Christ. God wants you to be aware that he knows what he has given you. It is unique. It will make room for you even in many government offices. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It is time, church. I feel this with the whole of my heart. I don't even know why. See, Moses, I feel like I want to conclude now. Moses didn't have any characteristics. In fact, when he came to God, when he knew that God wanted him to deliver the children of Israel, Moses was in a state of hopelessness. Number one, Moses didn't even have his home, as I told you. Moses could not even talk nicely. He didn't even have a speech. In fact, he told God, God, I have never been eloquent to people. But there's a reason why God chose Moses. There are other people who are talking nicely. You've looked down on yourself and you wondered, why me, God? There are other people who are well-dressed, well in shape, you know? What happens when you look yourself on the mirror? Who do you see? Monica, who do you see when you look yourself on the mirror? Who do you see? Do you see? Oh, no. Can it even face that boss? Can it even face immigration? Can this face? Who told you that? That is a lie from the devil. God has created you beautiful. That's the Bible says that we have been beautifully and wonderfully made. Huh? Love your shape. Love the way you walk. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're big like me, love it. If you're Mukondu, love it. Hallelujah. You know, when I see Chris Christie of New Jersey, people have criticized that guy, but you know he's still the governor of New Jersey. Yet he's like Kibubu Kibunga. Look, Trump selected him. I think he's going to be the vice president of Trump. He's now going with Trump everywhere. Okay, I know you're saying Shindwe, but anyway, let us pivot. Let us pivot from there. What I'm trying to say is, don't look down on yourself because you have an accent. Love the accent. By the way, I've been talking sometimes, say, where are you from? And I said, I'm from Kenya. Oh. And you know what? Just mentioning that I'm from Kenya, this person becomes so interested and they want to help me. But there are some of you who have been even trying to twang. And you know it filters through your Nyeri accent or your Muranga accent. At you know what I'm saying. And then the Muzungu says, what? What you say? That thingy. Enjoy it. You know, let me tell you, God has given you favor. God has given you a lot of favor. Let me tell you, finally, and I want you to stand up. There's a guy in this church, his name is Steve Kifuri. Steve Kifuri doesn't fear. I've gone with Steve Kifuri talking to a person, and let me tell you, Steve is Steve. He will tell somebody, you know what? What you're doing is not right. It doesn't matter what country you come from. That guy there, I respect him. He can teach you self-confidence. And because he does a business, he gets calls because he can speak to anybody. Whatever comes out of his mind, he doesn't care. And he doesn't filter. Eh? He let it out the way it is. Steve, we love you, man. I just love you. You need to teach us about confidence. We need to have that self-confidence. Because God is taking us somewhere. Majimolim. God is taking us somewhere. Amen? If God is not taking us somewhere, he will not bring Rachel here, you know, Amir Angela. You know, she is here with us. He will not even bring Sister Lorraine with us. He will not even bring Akina Carlos here if they don't believe in what we are doing. You know? But because they understand and they see we are loving and we have something in us, that's why they have joined us. And we know they are going to bring many more people who do not look like us so that we can love them, so that we can interact together. Stand on your feet. Amen. Glory to God. What is in your hand? I don't know, for too long you've looked down on your God-given talent. There's some jars, as I said, that might be full of bad things. You know what? This would be a good point to go and tell the Lord, you know what? This anger is not even worth it. This hatred that I've carried all along has been an extra luggage along my journey. Tonight I'm pouring it out. I'm going to call that person and I'm going to reconcile with them and I'm going to be over with it. You know what? In one of the days when we were at Julius's, the Spirit of the Lord spoke to me and said, why would you have a grudge against one another? And your life is so short. You know? We can't afford just to be hate one another or think ill about one another. We have to love one another. We have to care for one another. We have to be our brother's keepers. And you know what? Can I tell you something? No one is perfect. Just in case you knew. In fact, the only person who is perfect is God himself. So no one is perfect. When you look at me, expect to meet with some flaws. Expect to meet with some disappointments. Expect to meet with some things that are you'd wonder, Kwani, what is going on? Because I'm a human being. But even in spite of those things, we are supposed to accept and live with one another, loving each other, taking care of each other. Amen? Tonight, as you go home, I would like you to ask the Lord, this jar, you can identify it. I'm pouring it out right now. I'm emptying it tonight. Tonight is not going to end before I pour out this. I want to have a set of empty jars in my house because of what God is prepared to do right now. I am going to have empty jars. Emptying myself of anger. Emptying myself of hypocrisy. Emptying myself of anything, you know. I want to have empty vessels for what God is just about to do. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, we adore you. Thank you because when you come into contact with this gift that I have,
Lord, you shall cause it to be alive. You shall cause it to have a multiplicity effect in the name of Jesus. Lord, I thank you because as you put this word in my spirit, you told me that there are destinies that are going to be changed. Anybody who ran with this word, they're going to see them being elevated to a higher level. They will see themselves in a different way. That when they look themselves in the mirror, they will say, behold, this is the prince. Behold, this is the queen that Dallas is just about to see in the name of Jesus. Behold, this is the musician that is just about to be a celebrity for the glory of God. Behold, this is the wedding planner that God is just preparing to be the chief wedding planner in this city of Dallas. Behold, this is the businessman of integrity who God is just about to introduce into the city of Dallas. Lord, I give you over this gift to you. Touch it, and I know my life will never be the same. Is there anyone who is willing to say that kind of a prayer? Lift up your hand right now. Telling the Lord, Lord, I hand over this gift. Lift up your hand. We're going to pray together. Is there anyone? I want the Lord to touch my giftings. Lift up your hand. Father, you see those hands right now. As they go up, Lord, stretch your divine hand and touch them. They are surrendering themselves to you, oh God. And I pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, that you shall touch them, O God. Lord, I silence any voice of the devil that will tell them that it's not going to happen. I know it is going to happen because God, your hand is upon their lives. In the name of Jesus. Propel them to the next level of their destiny. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Lord, I also pray for anybody who might be sick, that you shall touch them. In the name of Jesus, anyone who needs a miracle, may you touch them in the name of Jesus. Lord, I know that you never disappoint. And Father, to all these who are here, I see them, Lord, as that poor woman. I also see myself as that poor woman who is coming to you, Lord, and telling you, Lord, I only have a jar of oil. And you're saying, bring all the empty vessels into the house and lock the door. For I'm just about to show up in your residence. God is setting to show up in your residence, in your family, in your children's life, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Bless these people, Father. Even as we face a brand new week, may you minister to each one of them in a special way. We give you praise and we honor your name. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Someone who loves him, shout a big amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Are you happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen. I'd like us to sing a song. So stand on your feet. I'd like us to sing a song. And Ben, please, if you please come and help me. And Sister Purity, come and help me. There's a song we used to sing, and you all know it. It goes like this. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Okay? So this is how we're going to sing it. We're going to sing all of us, and then we're going to separate. So this side is going to sing. You're going to sing. We're going to sing once. And then these guys are going to come together and they're going to join us, okay? And as we sing, we're going to increase the speed, okay? All right. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Okay. And the other thing we're going to do is we're going to clap our hands, okay? So we are not just going to sing. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. I mean, you have to mean it from your heart, okay? So by clapping your hands. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Again, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise,
his enemies be scattered. Let God arise.
Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise, his enemies be
scattered. Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. Let God arise.
One more time.
Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. Let God arise. His enemies be scattered. Let God arise.
Okay. I'm going to sing on the side. You're going to say, I'm going to count. Some of you are laughing. I'm going to count 1, 2, 3, and you're going to go, let God arise. And then when I come to you, you're going to also start. Don't listen to each other, okay? All right? You know what I'm trying to say? You know what I'm saying? Okay. Let God arise to sing. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. 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 Let God arise. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. 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 Let God arise. What happened to you? Did you join them? Anyway, oh, they joined you? Anyway, let's give Jesus a hand clap offering. Thank you so much. You guys are good musicians. Thank you so much, Carl.